sorry. Do apologise. I knew I forgot to do that. Okay. Good morning, everyone. So this morning, we're continuing with our series in Ephesians. And for those taking notes, it's walking worthy to your calling. Is that because it's in my pocket? Well, that bit there. Better? Okay, sorry. Don't like microphones, as I said last time. So it's walking worthy of your calling from Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 6. And we'll be splitting it into two parts. And we'll be looking at calling. And then we'll be looking at walking worthy, if that makes sense. Okay, so I was stewarding last week, so I didn't hear what Rob said. Couldn't get it up online, so if I repeat anything that Rob has already said, I make no apologies for it. You obviously weren't listening, and God wants you to hear it again. So there we go. Not my fault. Okay, so okay. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all. And in all. Okay. And then I found online the Voice Bible. And it says it like this. As a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you, live a life that is worthy of the calling he has graciously extended to you. Be humble, be gentle, be patient. Tolerate one another in an atmosphere thick with love. Make every effort to preserve the unity the Spirit has already created, with peace binding you together. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were all called to pursue one hope. There is one Lord, Jesus, one living faith, one ceremonial washing through baptism, and one God, the Father, over all, who is above all, through all, and in all. Just amazing, that slightly different translation, the way it opens it all up. Okay. So calling. So I'm guilty of doing this. I'm guilty of spending years sat with my hands underneath my legs, not quite rocking backwards and forwards, but not far off it at times, wondering what is my calling. You know, I've had the privilege of listening to many, many, many fine speakers, both in this place and in other places, and sitting there and thinking, oh yes, Lord, that's what I want to do. No. Never entered my head. No, I don't want to do it. So, but I've had that privilege of good teaching. And you also get people who are scared to do anything. Scared to get involved in the tea rota. Scared to get involved with the kids, the youth work, the stewarding. Absolutely anything. Because it might be out of the will of God. It mightn't be my calling. Come on, folks. Serving the body of Christ is your calling. And doing the little jobs leads to the bigger jobs. Okay, I'll sit down now. No. You know, sometimes we're waiting for the big reveal. The writing on the wall. Something like that. But as God has already said this morning, he doesn't do that. He speaks in whispers. He speaks in quietness. Bob Paisley, sorry to the Evertonians to mention his name, one of the most successful managers of all time, said, if you want people to listen, speak quietly. And it just come back to me when I was listening to what God was saying there. I'm not going to shout. I'm not going to scream. I'm going to whisper. So keep listening. Because for your calling, he picks people who don't feel normally able to do it. My mum was here and you said to her, what are the chances, years ago, what are the chances of Dave ever standing up and speaking to people like this? She'd have laughed at you and gone, no chance. You can just about manage two words. You know, there was no possibility. But you look at the people in the Bible who God has used in calling them. They've all been fragile. They've all been imperfect. They've all mucked up. But they've all continued in their calling. Why? Simply because they know that their God is faithful and he will keep them in it. Okay. So God normally puts a small seed into your heart. He doesn't normally reveal the full picture and plan. He does to some, but not to all. And after he starts planting that small seed, he starts taking you on a journey. He starts taking you on a walk. Okay? And he doesn't rush you. He goes at your pace. So if you're ever wondering why your walk with God is a little bit slow and a little bit stagnant and not where you want it to be, well, don't be blaming God. Look at yourself. Because God goes at your pace. I used to go up walking with a group of people. We'd go hill walking. Not very successful at times. But we'd go at the pace of the slowest person, who was normally me. Not always Alan, was it? Sometimes it was somebody else, not Alan, it was someone else. But God goes at your pace because he's a loving, caring father. He doesn't want to have to come back for you because it's pointless. Okay. And calling is not the same as your heart's desire. Okay? Sometimes the two eventually collide. Rob's big dreams, hopes and ambitions, I'm pretty sure when he started out years and years ago, were not to be a pastor. I'm sure Rob didn't even have it on his radar. It was not on his wish list. It was not there. I might be wrong on that, Rob. I've never asked you. But I'm pretty certain that it wasn't there. There were seeds there sown to serve, to support people, to love people, to encourage people. Seeds sown of prayer, that prayer was important. Seeds sown that the word of God was important. And he's nurtured them and cultivated them. Done a bit of work on them, and God's caused them to grow. So, there's a verse in the Bible about God giving you your heart's desire. Well, and I used to think that's fantastic because one day I'm driving a Porsche. Woohoo! Yes. And that five-bedroomed house is actually too big for us. That'd be great, won't it? Because we can keep the girls apart and life would be a bit more peaceful. Sorry, Lydia. Hannah's in here as well. Oh, I'm in so much trouble. But the desires that God puts in your heart that he then gives you are precisely his desires, and he wants your walk to be that close with him that the two connect. So forget the Porsche, forget the five-bedroom house, it ain't happening. So when God says, I'll give you the desires of your heart, when he used the phrase, he's almost cheating, because he knows that one day that desire of your heart is actually his desire of his heart, if that makes sense. And then it's no problem to fulfill. So, I used to think I didn't have a calling on my life. And when I woke up this morning, I certainly wished I didn't. However, there we go. But we've all got a calling on our lives. And for some people, it's a massive, massive, great calling. It's a brilliant calling. And most of us sit there and go, wow. But in truth, I don't want Rob's calling. I don't want Malcolm Heddin's calling. I don't want Canon Andrew White's calling, the vicar of Baghdad. I don't want his calling. I struggle with my calling. But God's got a calling for each of us. So, what is that calling? Well, we're all called to be sons and daughters of the living God. We're all called to serve one another, the body of Christ. And you know what? Sometimes that ain't easy. And sometimes that's far harder than actually standing up and talking to a room full of people. We're all called to love one another. Now, I know you all find it easy to love me because I'm a very lovable person. But for some of you, you're a bit of a challenge, to be truthful. You're a bit difficult. But now, I'm a very difficult person to love. My wife wouldn't agree. But I am, because I don't open up, because I'm quite quiet, because I keep my thoughts to myself. And then I go off on one and I explode and rant and rave about the most ridiculous and stupid of things. But we're all called to love each other, no matter what we're like. We're all called to be a royal priesthood. When people come out for prayer, and it's right and proper that the elders, the pastors should pray, that is right and proper. But their gifting is no greater than my gifting, and is no greater than your gifting, because we are all called to be royal priests, to serve the body. So the thing with your calling is it's there and you just need to find it, whether it's slipped behind the bed or down the side of the sofa, I don't know, but you need to find it, right? And for some, it will actually be serving teas and coffees, and there's nothing wrong with that, and that's fantastic and great. And last week I was doing stewarding, and this week I'm speaking. Okay, which would I rather be doing? Well, make your own minds up. But stewarding needs doing, and it's important. Why? Because it makes it easier for people like me to be able to stand up and speak, because everything else has been taken care of. That's not having a go at anybody, but get involved with something. Your calling is to serve the body of Christ, and that's us, folks. And one day, we will all look at each other and we will be the perfect bride of Christ. We will all be dressed in fine linen. We will all be beautiful. We will be amazing. But until that day, why don't we treat each other like we are? the finished article, that we are the bride of Christ, won't we serve each other as though we are the bride of Christ? There's a passage in Revelation 19 where John the Apostle, John the Disciple, is on the island and he's gone up into this trance and he's being taken through heavenly realms and he's being shown demons and dragons and he's being shown all kinds of stuff. And he gets to a point, and this is John the Disciple, who considered himself to be Jesus' best friend. So they were close. But he comes to a point where he actually looks and sees. In Revelation 19, he looks and he sees the beautiful bride of Christ in all of her dazzling glory. So, after John had experienced all this, did the way he treated other believers change? Well, we don't know. There's no record of it. But it's got to have been life-changing, hasn't it? Yeah? To suddenly see Roy Morgan in his finished glory. Sorry to pick on you, Roy, but you've done it to me many a time, so... But to see him in his finery, to see him as the finished article, my word, he's going to be amazing and beautiful. Not that he isn't already. Yeah, so people, why not treat each other like the finished article? How much different would life be? How much more would the presence of God be here if we treated each other as we actually are? Because when God looks at us, he doesn't see me with all my faults and failures. Thank you, Lord, for that. He sees me clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. Dazzling, amazing, and beautiful. I know that's a stretch for some of you looking at me now, but... Okay. So, calling. I got involved with youth work by doing a tuck shop for half an hour every Friday night. We'd turn up, we'd lay out a load of bar of chocolates, we'd sell it to the kids, and we'd go home. And that developed. And then for 11 years, we were doing youth work and had a gang of youth around to our house every day, but it wasn't. But it was good. But would I have ever got involved with youth work if we hadn't have actually just seen the need to do a tuck shop? The answer is no. So God takes little things and he trains you in them little things. And he gives you a small job. And there's a phrase, isn't there? Be faithful in small things. Well, God does use it. But he uses it as a training ground. And then he takes you on to bigger things. Okay. Somebody agrees with me there. So, we'll move on now to walking worthy, if that makes sense. So, this morning in the prayer meeting, there were quite a few prayers said and words given, and thinking, oh, does that fit in with what I'm going to speak on? It did. It's just me having a bit of a wobble. But there was basically this said, and I'm going to paraphrase it. So, but the walk is a narrow way, not a broad way. It's a narrow path, not a broad path. And it's been like on striding edge in the Lake District. It's a little bit scary. It's a little bit wobbly at times. And it's hard work. And it takes a bit of courage to get across and to keep doing. It's not a canal footpath. Okay? It's not flat. It's not level. It's not easy. It's not just turning up with your Sunday best on and going for a wander. Your walk with God will be hard work at times and will involve a bit of sweat and a bit of tears. Okay. So, if we go back to Ephesians 4, Paul lays out there for us what a worthy walk should look like. And it's quite easy, because we're simply called to walk as Jesus walked. There's no pressure there then, is there? That's simple, isn't it? Dead easy. But Paul lays it out in this way, doesn't he? Be humble. So what if we put others before ourselves? What happens if we think of other people as being as important as I think of myself as being important? Be gentle, being kind and tender with each other. It's very easy to find the faults in other people. I'm a bit of an expert in it. I think I've got a PhD in that one. It's easy to do. Be patient, tolerant, suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. It's not easy to be patient, either waiting for God to do something or being patient with each other. It is not easy. Okay. Bearing with one another, tolerate one another. We're not all going to get on all of the time. We're not all going to agree on everything, on every dot of doctrine. We're not all going to approve of what everyone else does. Okay? You know what? The only thing I can ever find in the Bible where it says, if you see a brother in sin, go and tell him. It doesn't say go and judge him. It doesn't say go and get your big stick and whack him as hard as you can. It says go and tell them. And that's between them and the Lord. See, I could quite easily find fault with every member of my family. I could. But I'd be a bit hurt and upset, inconsolable, if they were to sit me down and point out all of my faults. I'd be asking my boss, could I stay away from home 5 nights a week then, not just 3? Keep the unity that the Spirit has created. That's an interesting one, isn't it? It doesn't say create unity. You know who says that? The Spirit has already created the unity. And what we've got to do is just look after it. Yeah? Still a difficult task. But it's not half as difficult as trying to create unity. And that unity will never be about doctrine. Will never be about, I've read this verse and this is what it means to me. Does it mean that to you, Rob? No, it doesn't mean that to me. It means this to me. Yeah? As Christians, we could fall out over anything. From the very first verse of the Bible to the very last. But the unity is about Jesus. The unity is about Jesus Christ. And the one common thing we have is Jesus. Is Jesus and what Jesus has done on that cross for each and every one of us. And that word worthy, dear me, I don't feel worthy at times. And the devil likes to have a good poke with a stick at me about being worthy. But I am worthy. And I'm worthy because of that. Amen. And only because of that. Nothing I've done, but all that Jesus has done. And as I said before, I'm worthy because I stand in his righteousness. And I don't want to stand in anybody else's. Okay. So the original Greek adverb, which is used and translated as worthy of, is used 6 times in the New Testament. And 5 of those times refer to us acting. Not being, acting worthy of God, or the gospel, or our heavenly calling. So what does it mean? Does it mean that we've become worthy of God's favour? Does worthy of mean we're deserving or earning God's favour? Does it call God's attention to our worth, which he is obliged to acknowledge because it enriches his worth? In the same way that a great footballer might be worth 50 million to a football club. So, is that Josh in there now? Not Joel, yeah, okay. They switched halfway through just to cause me a headache. So if we go to 3 John 1:6. Okay, we'll just go for it, don't worry. It's the trickeries of that system. Okay, but it says this: you will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. Okay, I'm just going to go through these 6 scriptures. And in Thessalonians 2, verse 12, it says, walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Josh, don't worry, I'll just go through these. It's no problem. I know what the system's like. It's difficult. Colossians 1:10 says this: walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Okay, and we're going to come back to that particular verse in a bit. Philippians 1:27 says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Okay. Ephesians 4:1, walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Okay. So did you see they were all doing? Virtually all of them were doing verses. Yeah? And none of them said, sit there and wait for God to make you worthy. It says, they all said, walking. They're all doing. They're all acting. They're all, listen, guys, this is down to you. God's done his bit. So it's actually up to you now. So the way we walk doesn't actually add to our salvation. The way I walk, my Christian walk, doesn't add anything to what Jesus did on that cross. I'm saved because of my faith in Jesus. However, my walk is my responsibility. That's between me and God. It's not Rob's responsibility. OK? okay? He has a part to play. But my walk is my walk. It's not Rob's. He has a part to play in it. He has an input. And I'm very grateful for that. But if I flounder and fail, it's not his fault. Okay. So the way we walk doesn't add to our salvation. It doesn't make us more saved. Rather, it's a reflection of the redemptive saving grace of God in our everyday lives. It's what God has done for me that makes me walk the way I walk. Does that make sense? Yeah? That's good. Okay. The way I walk my Christian life is actually simply what God deserves from me. Yeah? For all he's done as a loving father for me, the way I walk is simply what he deserves. He deserves me to walk in a good way, in a way that is honouring to him. Okay? And that's not to put anyone in condemnation. Just think about it. Yeah? The way you walk is what God deserves. Okay. So, how do you walk? How do you do this walk? And I know for virtually everyone in here, it's easy and it's dead simple, and you get up on a Monday morning and there's no pressure, and it's just, I've spent 2 hours on my knees before God praying. I've read 16 chapters Bible, and I'm ready to go. I realise that it's just me who finds it a bit difficult at times. But Colossians 1:10 said, walk. Walk worthy of the Lord to please him. So how do you please God? Right? It can be hard enough to please the wife or the kids. It's very easy to please my wife, to be truthful. But how do you please God? And one of the keys to this is Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says, without faith it is impossible to please him. So what is God looking for in your walk? Is he looking for the segs on your knees where you've been praying for countless hours? Is he looking for the stripes on your back where you've been beating yourself because you're not good enough? No, he isn't. Does he want you to pray? Of course he does. Does he want you to read his word? Yes. Because you'll grow that way. Because you'll find out more about his character. But it's by faith. It's by every day putting your faith in God. By every day going, I can't cope with this situation, Lord, and I'm giving it to you, and we're going to walk this together, Lord, just help me through this. Yeah? So a walk worthy of your calling is a walk by faith, depending not on your own abilities to conduct and complete our walk, but rather act and walk in a way that fits the great value and glorious nature of God and his gospel. Yeah? Walk in a way that fits the great value and glorious nature of God. Okay? So to walk in God's, in a way that fits with God's nature. Folks, you're going to have to find out what God's nature is. Yeah? Great value, glorious nature of God and his gospel. Because the gospel is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. It's not a set of rules and regulations to beat you with. It's the redemptive, saving grace and love of God. Yeah? It's John 3:16. It's for God so loved the world that he sent his only son. Not to condemn the world, but to save it. Yeah? Get yourselves immersed back into the gospel. It's a happy gospel. And I know that's not very fashionable at times to actually say that, but it is. It's good news. It's not rubbish. It's not a set of rules here, guys. If you do all this, eventually, well, you could just make it. Now, it's flipping well good news. It's exciting. It's absolutely amazing. Okay. And then Jesus says this in Luke 6:45. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the Message Bible puts it like this. Your true being brims over into true words and deeds. It's a bit of a shocker, isn't it? So you can kid some of the people some of the time. Most of the people, most of the time. And whatever that saying goes on today. But you ain't kidding God. Okay? And you're not even kidding each other. So, go ahead another page there. Well, that's disappointing, isn't it? Ooh. Okay. Printed issues. Okay. But, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay? And you can get all hung up on that. And you can get all terrified. And you can get all, well, I'm just living some kind of a sham. Okay? That's between you and God. But I'd suggest that by faith you allow God to fill your heart with an abundance of his love. Yeah? And that's how you walk by faith, in that love on a daily basis, in that security that the Father ain't sat there with a big stick waiting for you to fall over to punish you, but is actually wanting you to take the next step in him because he's got a great journey for you to walk on, because he's got a great end for you to come to. But he's got some great jobs for you to do. He's got an adventure for you on the way to stepping over into eternity. Okay? This Christian walk is not all about that step into eternity, which we will all take. It is about the here and now. It is about the stepping and walking in this daily journey and operating in that love of God. Okay? So there's that saying, isn't there? The man who's never made a mistake has never done anything. So what God, would God rather have you do? Would he rather have you make a mistake or do nothing for his kingdom? I'm pretty sure he's comfortable with the mistake. He's comfortable with our frames. He created us. He knows our weaknesses. Yeah? That's not making excuses for my lack of effort and my apathy. Okay, but we all make mistakes, but the Father is there. Just like I was there for my kids when they were learning to walk and they'd fall over. Yeah, I wouldn't shout at them. Wouldn't shout at them and go, you're just not trying. Flipping heck. Two, for goodness sake, you should have got a hand on this now. Yeah. About that, it's about helping them up, isn't it? You help them up, you dust them down, you go, right, we're going again. Okay, for those of you who've taught a child to ride a bike, yeah, the exhaustion of the running along, don't you shake your head at me, young lady. The exhaustion of running along, holding that bike up, yeah, it gets to you at times, doesn't it? And you think, they're never going to get this. Yeah? And then you go out one morning and you run along behind them and you suddenly realise, I haven't got hold of this bike anymore. They're doing it. Yeah? Well, that's the Father's heart. If I can feel that for my kids, with all my faults and failures, the Father's heart is, come on, guys, let's go. Let's walk. Take that next step in me.
Well, I don't know what my calling is.
Come on. Come on, you do know what your calling is. You're called to be a son and a daughter, and that will be enough. And if you want the bright lights and the standing at the front and the talking, well, you can have my slot anytime. Okay. The walk we do is together. We are not in competition with each other. Okay? I know Paul talks about we run a race. Yeah? But he doesn't mean that somebody has to come first and I have to come last because I'm rubbish at the 100 metres. It was about 99 metres too long, in my opinion. Okay? But it's not a competition. We all have different giftings, yeah, to complement each other. Okay? Lydia from the worship band, could you come back up? So, I don't normally do this, but if you're struggling with your calling, with your walk, come on up and we'll pray for you, okay? Your calling might not be what you desire it to be, okay? God's got, I'm not going to say a weird sense of humour, but God's got a way of making you do things for him that you don't always feel comfortable doing, okay? He likes to push you down the street where you don't always feel very comfortable, okay? But if you're struggling with your walk and you just want the Father just to whisper in your ear again, come on up and we'll pray for you.